Everybody out there, this is Robert Pilot. Like I was saying, hey Eric, I want to throw out a shout out for one of your best buddies, Hunter, and Hunter's dealing with some major loss in his life. All prayers are out there for him. I put some tobacco out for him, and I really am thinking deeply about Hunter's family.
Yeah, it's a sad situation, but we're all wishing him the best over here at AM950.
Right. And I know there's major support here. You know, he's got a GoFundMe. There's just a huge loss. And I'm, you know, Robert Pilot again, and I'm with the, I'm sitting in with the Rapporteurs here for a beautiful day here out in Radioland. And I'm going to run right now. I have a guest on the line. I just want to jump right into that right away. One of my idols, one of the radio voices and Native American voices in the Twin Cities, Roy Taylor. I want to welcome you to the Rapporteurs.
Noah. This is the Rapporteur, eh?
Who? Yeah. Hey, thanks for jumping on. I have Mary Kanush Podine coming on here, and she's got she's stuck in traffic right now. So I just talked to Roy, and I ran into Roy this weekend. I've been in Roy's show. You want to just give everybody a like who you are and what you do for the community? I know you do a lot of things, and you have your own radio show too.
Right, Robert. That's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. on one of your partners there, KFAI Fresh Air Radio in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So it's called Indigeneity Rising. Mm-hmm. We've talked before in the past, and you've been on my program as well. And
right.
We've done some collaborative efforts mm-hmm. around the start of Minnesota Indian Month this past year.
Right, exactly. And I know also you do a lot of other things in the community. You're also an actor. I ran into you at the museum last weekend. Tell us a little bit about what else you do.
Yeah, you know, we actually were on the phone earlier today, and I can mention that in just a second or two. But mm-hmm. I was in the middle of continuing writing a play that I'm working on, getting ready for a 10-minute play festival later this year here in the Twin Cities. So, let's see. I think that was you and me and your wife, Wendy, and my mm-hmm. wife, Catherine. We were there on Sunday afternoon at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. That was next to last weekend, I should say, penultimate weekend for the Heart of Our Peoples exhibition. It's on Native Women's Arts. It's a locally curated program or show by Jill Alberg Yo, and I think it's going on now after it closes next week. Mm-hmm. It'll go on to the Frist Museum in Nashville, Tennessee, and then later to a museum in Tulsa, Oklahoma, early next year, or the 2020. So my wife and I are guides there, and we were giving tours that afternoon, public tours, and we just missed you. I know you and Wendy were going through the exhibition. There's about 125 objects that are on display there, and it's all women, all mm-hmm. everything from traditional materials such as buckskin, teeth, claws, mm-hmm. porcupine quills, to transitional objects like beadwork, mm-hmm. and then more contemporary, modern work, paintings in acrylic. There was even a 3D exhibition that was created, or not an exhibition, but a display that was created on an iPhone mm-hmm. by a young woman out of Oklahoma, a Seneca Cayuga woman. So it's a great show. Anybody gets a chance in the next week, they should take it in. It's in the Target Wing, which is in the West Wing of the Minneapolis Institute of Arts there on 3rd Avenue and 22nd Street.
Yeah, it could take, we went through it and it took us a couple hours, and we could have been there at least twice as long. There was, how many exhibits were there? Did you say 140?
125 objects in the exhibition spread out over a I think it's 8 or 9 galleries within that target wing. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you could spend the whole afternoon there. Sometimes it's best to go as soon as the Institute opens in the morning, if you can get away, particularly during weekdays, because it's so crowded.
Mm-hmm.
It's very popular. I understand it's trending at about 91% of what it's exceeded what their goal was. So that's over 100,000, somewhere around there, approximately 100,000 that they had projected over about a 2.5 month exhibition. And now they're at 91% of every show that's ever been exhibited there at the Institute, the way they use whatever their system is of measuring that. So it's very successful.
Mm-hmm. I you know, one of the things that I did is when we ran into it, I had to go potty. I'm an old man, old Indian here. And we went backwards to the museum, and I also bought a book and became a member.
Oh, great. Yeah. I was noticing I was having to show you the little outhouse on the prairie there. Where that's at. That's that back door flap on the teepee, you know?
Yeah. Heading east, going to the bathroom west.
Yeah, you know, we even have some friends and relatives who have objects on display there. There's a Cheyenne Arapaho woman from Kiowa Cheyenne, who has a pipe bag there, a beaded pipe bag.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are artists from Canada, from the Arctic. I don't believe there's anybody from Mexico or Central America,
mm-hmm.
but it's a wonderful exhibition. There's even a 1985 Chevy El Camino on display there. I mean, you've got to see it to believe it. It's done up in the style of, I don't know if this means anything to your listeners, but Maria Martinez, San Ildefonso black shard pottery.
Mm-hmm.
But they painted this muscle car to look like it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little video that shows the actual artist renovated the car, I guess.
Right.
Rebuilt the engine, and then she actually applied all of the artistry to the surface or to mm-hmm. the body of the car. She says it gets up to about 130 miles an hour out there in those New Mexico back roads, and I believe her.
Oh, those El Caminos, especially pre-80s, were an awesome vehicle. There was a thing, I don't know, you went through many times, but there was a Nero jacket. Did you see that? And that was from the 1800s. So it was really funny because our culture and everything, it's everywhere. So there was like did you see that Nero jacket?
I think so. If I'm understanding the one you're describing, was it from back east? From Canada, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hunting jacket. So that would have been created by a woman artist, and I'm trying to remember if it was like a tribe or nation called Naskapi from Nova Scotia or Labrador.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would have been somewhat of a ceremonial jacket created mm-hmm. for a spouse, a husband. But you can see them actually worn in old photos of mm-hmm. the natives up there in the Maritime provinces in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're very durable. They're very heavyweight. I mean, they put Carhartt to shame. You know, these things were worn out in the brush. You know, they could fend off mosquitoes, snakes. Mm-hmm. And small animals trying mm-hmm. to attack a hunter out in the wild.
Don't eat those gold beads or those glass beads. I mean, wow. So, we got like 2 minutes left here before the break. Can you, tell us a little bit more about, maybe your acting, Roy?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, and, I always tell people, you know, I was a lobbyist for about 25 years and I didn't realize it at the time, but I was training all those years to go into acting full time now. So, you know, delivering testimony and lobbying legislators. In fact, that's who my guests are going to be tomorrow. I'm not in the current production for New Native Theater. It's called The Red Sisters by Thompson Highway.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of Toronto, I believe. And so that's starting tomorrow night, and we'll be on stage at the Gremlin Theater for the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to have some of the cast and the director into the studios there at KFEI, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and New Native Theater's 10th anniversary. So, but you know, I'm hoping to be auditioning this fall and hopefully getting into more stage production and maybe even a little small film, independent film, mm-hmm. And TV work, you know, so awesome. That's kind of what's going on for me this fall.
Awesome. Hey, and then you and I are going to make a trip, aren't we, this weekend?
Yeah. We're going to try and get down to Sioux City, Iowa for the first ever Frank LaMere Native American Presidential Forum, very much like the Democratic debate mm-hmm. forum that we saw in the last couple of months here. This is going to be all Native, though, and it is going to involve some of the Democratic presidential candidates. So there's commitments by, I believe, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and I'm trying to remember who else that's going to be. Oh, maybe our own senator here in Minnesota,
right.
Amy Klobuchar, I believe, is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be 2 days of question and answers and forum and talking with elected tribal reservation band officials as well.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a fun trip, and we're going to see down there. And you know me, I'm the selfie king, so hopefully I can get a selfie with who's going to be the next president.
Yeah, I heard a rumor there was going to be that Bob Blake from Red Lake was also going to be seen down there as well.
He's going to be wrangling some guests for me. That's right.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun time as well as informative time. So everybody should be listening both on AM 950 or KTFN and also KFAI, because we'll be producing a lot of segments on this once we get back.
Well,
and I think you're going to try and do live, right?
Yeah, I definitely am. That's right. I was going to get into that a little later, but I'm going to be doing live. Hey, Roy, thanks a lot for stepping in here and being on the repartees here for the next few minutes. I really appreciate it. And we'll be talking soon. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, say hello to MKP for me.
Oh, I will. She's here right now smiling.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right. Hey, everybody out there, you're listening to the repartees on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And we'll be right back with Mary Kanush Podine.
Hey, I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and I want you to join us for repartee on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rymark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
So, you're finally coming to grips that it's time to replace your carpet. Or maybe you want to update the look of your favorite room. Lucky for you, there's Z Floors by Zero Res. It's my trusted one-stop shop for all my flooring needs. So when nothing but new will do, check out the new Zero Res flooring experience at z-floors.com.
Also, right now is the Zero Res end of summer sale where you can get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at only $129. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit zeroresminnesota.com.
As if there isn't enough to love about our great Minnesota State Fair, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is throwing their big Minnesota State Fair sale. You can get an air conditioner for just $2,400 when you buy a high-efficiency furnace. Restrictions apply. Go to standardheatingdeals.com to discover details and more about how you can start enjoying your brand new air conditioner for just $2,400 during Standard's State Fair sale. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Taking prescription medication should not be a scary task. The staff at St. Paul Corner Drug makes certain you know everything about your prescription medication before you leave the pharmacy. Knowing what to expect and when and how to take your prescriptions gives you the confidence to safely take your medication and maintain good health. Should additional questions arise, we are here to help sort things out. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be, at stpaulcornerdrug.com.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
Here's one of the dudes. I'm Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. I'm awake, and I have a show on Saturdays at 1 to 3 here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And I'm just pinch hitting here, and I love AM 950, so it's been really a blessing. Also, too, we want to give a shout out to Hunter Hawes out there and his family for the grieving and their loss of his mother. So I'm really excited because one of the things I have a guest here in studio guest. One of the things that I really appreciate is people that are fighting for our people. And when I say that, I mean all people, not just Native Americans, but specifically Native Americans for me, because I have a Native American show. I have Mary Kanush Podine here, and she's a Minnesota State Representative of D41B. Is that correct?
Yep, District 41B.
Welcome. I can't read my own typing. That's pretty sad here, but I can't wait to get back to school. Say, you were at the Capitol when I called. Things are busy. People are coming in and seeing you. You know, I'm really excited and appreciative that you're on. And also, you do a piece for Native Roots Radio every week, and it's a very popular piece, and I really want to thank you for that.
Pleasure.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about yourself before we take calls, because this is my kind of my pitch to everybody. Is this kind of our lunchtime with Bernie? Now we got the estate rep here. So if anybody wants to ask questions, definitely give us a call here.
So I'm State Representative Mary Kunish Podine. I represent District 41B, which is Columbia Heights and Hilltop, St. Anthony Village, and New Brighton. Maybe you saw that little blurb in MinnPost, I think it was, about, was it MinnPost or was it on the in the general new, newspaper, about Hilltop, which is a small manufactured community that I represent. And there aren't many of those little manufactured mobile home parks anymore. One of the last affordable, you know, truly affordable ways to live. And we're working hard on finding ways to bring more assistance to those manufactured homes at the legislature. But when I'm not at the legislature, I am a teacher. I'm a library media specialist in Robbinsdale. I'm at the Robbinsdale Middle School. So I'll be heading back there, trying to get a lot of loose ends cleaned up this week and next week before school starts. But I do. I look at a lot of legislation through the lens of our Indigenous folks. My grandfather and my mother are both enrolled tribal members of Standing Rock. I have a long and very colorful history out in South Dakota between my my Lakota relatives and ancestors and my French Canadian and Irish relatives that really made a difference out there. And so I'm very proud to be able to look through the lens of Indigenous issues when I do legislation. Of course, one of my most proud pieces of legislation so far is the creation of the Task Force for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women in Minnesota. That task force should be starting up here in September. We just had the closing through the Secretary of State's office on anyone who wanted to apply to be on that task force. And so now the next step will be the first initial meeting and kind of figuring out how we're going to put that task force together and what that will look like. But that's a national issue. Many states are passing legislation, different areas, different pieces of legislation to address that within their communities. So I was really proud that happened so quickly. Another piece of legislation was to ensure that our BIE schools, Bureau of Indian Education schools, are fully funded at the same level that all other kids in public schools are across the state. Those are four schools that are federally funded schools. When treaties were signed with the promises that we will, you know, take care of you, we'll give you education, we'll educate your kids, we will provide food, we will provide tools for you to farm. There were all these provisions made by the federal government, and they were never really fully completed or fulfilled. And the education is definitely one of those issues. And so we were able to ensure that there will be permanent funding for those four schools. We've seen over the last 8 years what a difference that that funding has made to those schools and to the students. And so I was really proud to do that. And then, of course, we had an issue or a piece of legislation that would allow Prairie Island Reservation Police to sort of uncouple themselves from the county police and be able to be their own unique individual kind of police force. And that was really important because the county and the reservation work very well for Prairie Island together, but for their own autonomy, we wanted to make sure that they were able to provide the kind of services that they needed to within their reservation, within theirs, but also work with the county police. So it was a friendly piece of legislation, and I was really proud to be able to carry that legislation for them.
Well, what's a little, give us a little history. Now, this is your third year or fourth year. What were you one of those people that said somebody needs to do something? And then I realized I was somebody. is that what happened? Or
kind of. I was elected initially in 2016 and then just reelected in 2018. And I'll have to go for another election. We at the House, in the House of Representatives, you have to get reelected every 2 years. In the Senate, it's every 4 years. So every 2 years, well, we're always kind of campaigning anyway. Right. But I'm a teacher. I'm an educator just like you. And we both know how hard it is to be a teacher in our schools these days. Mm-hmm. There's lots of issues for our kids and for our teachers, but also for our school districts. Some mm-hmm. of the mandating that has been done through the federal government and the state government for schools and school districts and teachers mm-hmm. is really sometimes very crippling. Mm-hmm. And as an educator, I saw that there were some things that needed to change and some things we could do better, some things we could do away with. Mm-hmm. But I got active in my community, became the chair of our Park Rec and Environmental Board in New Brighton.
Oh.
I have a daughter that was at that time very politically active, working on some campaigns here in the Twin Cities and at the state level. And I'm just sort of a naturally curious person. Nice. And I tagged along with her on a lot of things when they needed volunteer. Once they were going to send her out into the middle, out to Loch Caparel in the middle of January. Mm. and I said, no, you can't go by yourself. So I went with her. And so I got to know people, got to understand how the system or the process works. And, you know, once you get a good volunteer, they don't let go of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just kept saying, hey, when are you going to run? Now that you're, you know, now you got a taste of it, when are you going to run?
Mm-hmm.
And then my senator decided to retire in my district. And my representative decided to run for that seat. And it was just sort of a natural progression for me to run for the legislature. And I had their support and was happy to do it.
Well, that's an awesome story. Hey, you're listening to the Rappartees on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We're going to come right back here, and I want you to call in and ask Mary Kanoush Podine anything you want at 952-946-6205. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the 4 o'clock Rappartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Rappartee, repertoire, something like that.
There are so many times in life when it's important to have a plan. I'm attorney Rachel Schroman, and I can tell you from experience that so much pain can be prevented with an estate plan or an arrangement for long-term care costs. I work with families with many different dynamics and budgets, and my goal is always to give them peace of mind while helping them protect their legacy. Learn more about me at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. Your response is critical to our response in places where few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
The local advertisers you hear on AM 950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM 950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, showers are likely with a low around 58. Wednesday, patchy fog before 10 a.m., then partly sunny with a high near 73 and a low around 57. Thursday will be foggy with a high near 77 and a low around 60. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Burger Mo's, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties of burgers, as well as delicious apps, soups, salads, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is the perfect gathering spot before or after XL Energy events.
Hi, this is Chad Larson, owner of AM 950. You are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, yes, you are. This is Robert Pilot with Mary Kanoush Podine and our little dog, Wanda. Wanda is like, we had her outside for a little bit, but it looks like it's going to storm. So if you guys are looking at us on Facebook Live, say hi to Wanda.
Hey. Hi, Wanda.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit about your family. I know I'm here with Representative Mary Kanoush Podine, and you know, you got a talented family. I saw, matter of fact, on Native Roots Radio, I had your sister on a while ago, and it was just like one of those things when we were done with the show, we went, oh my gosh, we could have her on for a long time. Just don't touch any buttons, Wanda. So, look at this dog. Let's talk about your sister for a real quick bit while we're waiting for phone calls at 952-946-6205. And, you know, what's our version of Ask Bernie Anything or Lunchtime with Bernie Sanders. So, if you have any questions, that you want to shoot this way, we'd love to hear from them, but let's talk about your sister real quick.
Sure. My, sister Patrice is probably one of my inspirations. She's just, a really, incredibly bright, intelligent person, and she is currently the director of the Center for Indian Country Development at the Federal Reserve Bank. She's got a really great resume herself, worked for NARF, Native American Rights Fund. She worked for the McIntucket Pequot tribe out east, did some teaching at the University of South Dakota Vermilion, and then went out and worked for the Obama administration in a couple of different capacities before she finally came back to Minnesota. So she'd been gone for a couple decades, to tell you the truth. And they're doing really, really great work at the Federal Reserve Bank, working hard to look at some of the issues around what really affects economic development for Native folks. And housing, of course, home ownership is a really big one. Some of the issues around violence against women and against our Native folks. Just a lot of different economic issues that really make the difference between prospering and not prospering. And of course, we know, you and I and many other folks understand the generational trauma that our Indigenous folks have gone through, you know, between education and boarding schools and the violence and the health issues in our Indigenous communities. She and her crew are doing some really incredible things around what we can do to help our Native folks, both in the urban core as well as rural Minnesota, to become you know, more, not when we say prosper, not to become, you know, multimillionaires or to do all those things, but just to have a really good standard of life, and what are the impediments and what she can do to help make that better.
You know, I'm glad you're here too, because there's been just some decisions lately about ICWA. And I wonder if you could tell our audience out there what ICWA is and how important it is to us.
Sure. So ICWA is the Indian Child Welfare Act. And if you know a little bit about history and our Native kids, I'm going to pass Wanda off, I guess. Part of the decision by the federal government way back in the day was to remove kids from their homes and put them in boarding schools. They would take the kids to the boarding school. They would immediately have their hair cut off short. All their Indigenous, their cultural clothes were removed and taken away. Any totems or special luck you know, items that they might have carried with them. They weren't allowed to speak their native language. They had to speak English. And in a lot of cases were horribly, horribly punished, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, when they tried to connect with their culture at the boarding schools. And what we know for sure is that it disconnects the family in so many ways at so many levels. Parents lost the skill of parenting. Kids lost that family connection, that emotional connection. And that continued over the century and a half of Native kids being pulled away from their families for sometimes just the bare minimum of an issue, whether it was there wasn't food in the house or somebody wasn't working or whatever the case was would be. Native kids were quickly removed from the homes, put into foster care, oftentimes most often white folks or non-native mm-hmm. folks. And again, that disconnect from their family, from their culture, from their loved ones, from everything that they knew. And oftentimes we're passed, you know, from one foster care place to the next. And so what ICWA, this act did, this Indian Child Welfare Act came about, and it's a little complicated, but basically what it says is that Native kids have to be placed with Native families mm-hmm. when they are removed from the home. And there's been people that would like to change that or remove it or say that that is showing some kind of a prejudice, bias and a prejudice, and we should do away with that. And there was a recent request that there be changes to the ICWA law, and of course that was voted down, and ICWA is upheld. Here in the Twin Cities, we've got this incredible ICWA Law Center mm-hmm. in Minneapolis, and they do so much incredible work around preserving the family, making sure that the kids and the parents are kept together. And sometimes it happens that kids are separated from their parents for whatever reason. We know that there's a lot of addiction issues mm-hmm. within our Native community, but what they want to do is really try to find ways to preserve the family. What are the resources that family needs mm-hmm. before the kids are removed? And then should a parent be removed or separated from their kids, how we can reunify them, and what resources can we put in place to ensure that they're going to be successful again?
There was a heavy-duty documentary that came out, and one of the local leaders, I asked her, because she was in it, it was about her. Basically, she was adopted and came back and has really fought. And ICWA's fairly new. I was adopted in 1962 mm-hmm. and I was born in 61. So I was 18 months old, and I was tried to be held on, and things really changed. But I asked her, what was one of the things that you could do to help Native people? And it was really interesting, her response. It was like, give them the money instead of the foster parents. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, that's thinking outside the box, because I never would even thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if we try to think proactively than reactively, mm-hmm. what are the situations, or what is the problem that would even prompt the child protection or whoever to remove the kids from mm-hmm. the family? Because, you know, all families struggle in their own way. Mm-hmm. Money doesn't fix everything. But if there's a parent that is working two or three jobs, and maybe they begin a relationship with somebody else thinking, well, now we've got two adults in the house, and this person has promised to help me, and it turns into an ugly situation, and maybe there's some kind of violence or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. What can we do so that like a mother with a couple of kids doesn't feel the need to bring other people into the home to help her with the child rearing? Mm-hmm. If she's working hard, or she can't find a job, or working a couple of jobs that is distracting her from parenting, you know, you get tired, maybe that job isn't allowing for the most nutritious food, and so the kids are always hungry. Mm-hmm. Maybe everybody's oversleeping. Maybe all they need is an alarm clock to get up in time, to get to the bus, to get to school on time, because truancy is often a real issue. And so I guess if we could take a more proactive than reactive approach to it, then that would make me happy.
Hey, we got Mark from Fridley calling in. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, the repartee. Welcome, Mark.
Hey guys, and again, you know, Hunter, bro, thoughts and prayers. You know, it's difficult situation, but you know, don't mourn a life, celebrate a life. And I know how much that she meant to you. So, mm-hmm. you know, take care, bro. 2 points. Number one would be reparations, but before we get to that, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders just passed another benchmark from a biased, independent, authentic poll saying that his electability overwhelms that of Donald Trump. So when CNN, when the Washington Post, when establishment Democrats are, you know, all against you, that probably means that you're on the right side, and I think that we've got to get this thing done. And I do hear a lot of talk about reparations regarding African Americans, but I would have to assume Native Americans have to be up on that list too. What are your thoughts about that, and what are Native Americans' relationships with the Palestinians in Gaza with regards to both having been put through similar situations?
Well, Mark.
Mark's always, Mark's got the good questions always. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, we could do a couple of shows on both of those, all three of those issues. So as far as reparations goes, yes, I actually have been asked to carry a reparations bill at the state legislature. And again, this is a piece of legislation that had originally come from Karen Clark, past Representative Karen Clark. She kind of has handed over a whole portfolio to me of some of the issues that she hasn't that she worked on for years and years, and I guess Minnesota just wasn't ready for them yet. And reparations is definitely one of those issues. And interesting enough, I was a little bit late here this afternoon because I was meeting with somebody about the reparations bill that we're hoping to put forward. Now, this reparations bill is more of, again, sort of like a task force to look at how that reparations might look like for our Native Americans here in Minnesota, and how it might look like for our African Americans in Minnesota. We are on Dakota land, and we share it with all of you. We share it with our Anishinaabe folks, and we're happy to share.
And some Ho-Chunks too, right?
And a few Ho-Chunks. But these are all lands that are shared through treaties and treaties,
right?
That,
and I was going to get to that. Yep. I'm glad you came around.
Yep. Through treaties and rights that the original Indians gave away in agreement to the federal government and the state government. Mm-hmm. And again, like I was saying with our BIE schools, those agreements were never fully fulfilled in a lot of ways. So many pieces of legislation and so many actions have actually tried to squelch and to take away a lot of the indigenous rights that were given to, well, I don't want to say given to, but agreed upon when these treaties were signed. Hunting rights, fishing rights, land rights, water rights, all of these things that folks continue to try to remove from, you know, the sovereignty of it.
Yeah. So let's get back to that. You know, that would be a whole show itself. And you're listening to the Rapartees, and that was a great call. This is Robert Pilot along with Mary Kanush Podine, and it's really raining here in St. Paul. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock Rapartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Rapartee, repertoire, something like that.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extreme extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
As if there isn't enough to love about our great Minnesota State Fair, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is throwing their big Minnesota State Fair sale. You can get an air conditioner for just $2,400 when you buy a high-efficiency furnace. Restrictions apply. Go to standardheatingdeals.com to discover details and more about how you can start enjoying your brand new air conditioner for just $2,400 during Standard's State Fair sale. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Hello, humans. This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
We are. Hey, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. I'm on at 1 to 3 on Saturdays, and we have a two-hour show, a Native-centric show, and I'm here with Mary Kanush Podine, and she's like a regular on that show, too, so it's really awesome to have you here at the Pilot Studio here on Jefferson Avenue. Ooh, that's a bad name. Hey, can we just welcome back, and can we just finish up where we left off? That'd be awesome, and I'll try and keep this dog quiet.
Sure. So we were just talking about reparations and some legislation that we're going to be probably introducing this year. It'll be a task force to study what the reparations to our American Indian community might look like, and it would be probably look different for our African-American communities as well. And so I'm looking forward to learning more about that and putting this together. And as it progresses, I'll be sure to let Robert know, and we can share that with you.
Yeah, on Native Roots Radio on 1 to 3 on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So the Constitution talks about treaties being the law of the land, and Native Americans having a lot of treaties out there that are have not been followed through on. So I know when I always hear reparations, I always think of treaties. I don't know why. I always go back to that. It's like, hey, we'd be okay if you just, you know, honored the original treaties, mm-hmm. which they haven't, you know, the U.S. government hasn't. So,
yeah, that's absolutely true. I guess I would challenge anybody to find one treaty that was, followed honored to the full extent of that agreement. Mm-hmm. A lot of those treaties were signed in coercion, you know, to the Native folks. Some of the treaties were signed after the the leaders were told, if you don't sign this, we won't give you any food. We won't give you any provisions. And so many of those, the communities were already in dire, dire straits. They'd been rounded up and put into, you know, you might want to call a concentration camp or, removed from their lands, no access to food and the resources that they needed. And so they were, you know, they had that holding over their head. If they wanted to see the next generation live, they often had to compromise themselves. And so it'll be interesting to look back at those treaties. I've seen a few of them and look to the full extent. One is, I wish I remembered the name of this blog that I was, or podcast I was listening to. It's about down in Oklahoma. And it talks about the murder that happened. And through this murder, there was more investigation, and at the end of the day, it looks like maybe Oklahoma, even half of it, could go back to the indigenous folks down there because of those treaty rights. And so there's a lot to look at. There's a lot to learn, and I'm really excited to be able to be a part of that.
Right. And, you know, I have to say, you know, I'm really happy that we're represented. We also have Jamie Finn Becker, that's working with you. And we had four at one time, and now we're down to two. But Randy from St. Cloud, who's a regular two, he wants to talk, say a shout out to you. Hey, welcome, Randy, on AM 950, the Progressive Voice.
Oh, thank you very much. And you just brought up a point I wanted to make. Has there been a treaty ever that the United States has honored? No. I can't think of one. But I'm curious, where is Lieutenant Governor Flanagan in this whole Polymet debate? Because I don't see her being quoted or talked about at all. And today there was a thing in the paper that Walz is, you know, he wants assurances from Polymet and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why are we even thinking about this crap? So maddening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. One of the things too, for me, because of the way the political ball's been bouncing and advertising, I mean, you see everything, Polymet or Enbridge. It's just, you know, we have to be political about this and gather allies as opposed to think it's going to be another Standing Rock.
I think it's very important that we're going to look at all aspects of this Polymet issue. We, of course, want to make sure that the environment is our priority, and it's not going to go away soon. So I hope that we can work together on this.